Okay, today's daf is Lamed. We're going to start at Kuf Tetim Bet, about 10 lines from the bottom. There's two dots about Chomet Shel Ovdei Kochavim. So just to review a little bit and do a little, I didn't go in depth a little bit about, wanted to start with the beginning of the Mishnah, Kuf Tetim Bet. It said, Eidol Dreim Shel Ovdei Kochavim Asurim V'Isuran Isuran Na'as. So these are things of non-Jews that are forbidden to us, both to eat and to get any pleasure from them. So the first thing was yayin. So I wanted to a little bit discuss this yayin. What's the issue with the yayin? The yayin is, we all know this, right? It's always an issue. By the way, the Mishnah here is not referring, we're going to get to it much later, a nun vav, about wine owned by a Jew that a non-Jew touches or pours from, right? That's the big issue always, that if you have wine, you can't have a non-Jew open it, pour it, right? Of one of those complicated halachot. That's not yet, obviously it comes from this, but that we're going to deal with later. What we're now talking about is wine owned by a non-Jew. It's also not referring to wine owned by a non-Jew who used it for a libation, that we know for sure. If we know for sure it was used for a libation, then it doesn't matter. Wine, it could be water they used for a libation, anything that clearly was used for avodah zarah, for sure that's aser. It's aser from the Torah because it's something that was used for avodah zarah purposes. And then again, like I said, it wouldn't only refer to wine, it would refer to water that was used as a libation or anything. What we're talking about here is a gzerat chachamim, that they said, well, this is what we call stam yenam. Okay, if you've heard that term, stam yenam is stam wine that is owned by a non-Jew that we don't know if they offered it as a libation or not. So therefore, we're going to be gozer on it because of that. There's a bit of an issue here, and therefore, just like anything that was used for avodah zarah purposes is aser b'hana'ah, not just aser to drink, therefore, we're going to be gozer on stam yenam, since maybe they used it for avodah zarah purposes, we're going to be gozer on it. Well, the problem is, you don't know this, but in a few dapim, we're going to get to all sorts of other things, like pot akum and other things, right, pot being bread, and other things that they were gozer on because of marriage. We're worried we're going to have social interactions with them and it might cause someone to marry someone. So in that list is also wine, which is kind of strange because if wine is already usher here because of avodah zarah, worry that maybe it was used for avodah zarah, then obviously, and it's usher there, well, it seems a little bit problematic because it's already usher. Okay, so a bunch of answers. I'll bring a few answers that were given for this question. One is that really the issue is chatanut. Okay, it's really for that purpose. However, mishum chatanut, because you might marry them, it's obviously only going to forbid it for drinking, not for getting benefit from. So because of that, they added, in addition, we're going to have an isur hana'ah, just in case, and it was already forbidden, mishum chatanut. But then they added this other issue that just in case they use it for avodah zarah purposes, we're going to additionally forbid it b'hana'ah. Another is that there were two different gzerot. One was mishum chatanut, and then later, in a later time period, again, it would have to be tana'im still, early, but in a later time period, they said, well, you know, now a lot of non-Jews are using wine for libation purposes. Let's add on an additional reason to be gozer, and then again, it would have included additionally the isur hana'ah. A third answer I saw, which I thought was very interesting, is that it really it's only aser mishum chatanut. But when they forbade it, since it was wine, and yayin nesech, which is for sure used for avodah zarah, is wine that's forbidden, and is forbidden not only ba'achila, but also ba'hana'ah. So when they forbade it for chatanut, they forbade it in the same way that it was forbidden if it was actually used for avodah zarah purposes. Okay, so that's a third possible answer. Now, what would be the what was I going to say? If I had something in my head. Okay, I lost it. Anyway, that's the issue here. And like I said, later we're going to see on Daf Nun Vav the issue about wine owned by a Jew that ends up being touched by a non-Jew. That's not yet discussed here. Right now we're just talking about wine owned by a non-Jew. Okay, and then the second thing in the Mishnah was the chometz. Right? Chometz is vinegar. It's wine that's turned sour. So chometz that's owned by an Ovei Kochavim is also forbidden because it was originally wine, so it could be they had used it for wine, for nesech at some point, for a libation. So now we're going to have a whole bunch of different types of wines we're going to discuss, and we're going to discuss, number one,
are these wines potentially, could they have used them? We're going to get into which ones were used for libations, which ones weren't used for libations. And since we're talking about wine, we're going to talk about another issue about wine, which is something that also applies to water and certain other liquids, that it's a totally separate halacha, but since we're already talking about different types of wines that might have a chashash for yei nesech, we're going to talk about giloy. What's giloy? Giloy is if you leave a liquid exposed, there's a concern that maybe a snake inserted poison into it, and therefore you're not allowed to drink it because maybe it had this poison of the snake. Okay, so generally we talk about it leaving it overnight. However, here it seems that maybe even if you left it during the day, it could possibly be a concern. The question is, in what cases are we going to be concerned for snakes? What cases are we not going to be concerned for snakes? Again, it gets into, right, just like which wines would they have used for their libations? Also, which wines do snakes... we're going to see, number one, which wines do snakes drink? And number two, which wines, we're going to see that snakes have good taste in wine. And number two, which wines are they willing to risk their lives for? Let's say there's a person nearby. Would they come close? You know, we still worry they might come get it. And there's certain wines they're willing to risk their lives for and come close even if there's people, humans around. And some that only they'll go and put their poison in the case where nobody's around and nobody sees. That's why generally we say overnight. You leave it overnight, nobody's watching it. They might do that. Okay, so with that, let's start. So the Gemara says, Pshita. This is such an obvious halacha. If it was originally wine, then of course maybe it was used as a libation. Just because it turned to vinegar doesn't mean it wasn't, couldn't have been originally used for wine. So it's so obvious. What's the chidush of the Mishnah? Amar Rav Ashi, ha'atalash muinan, chomet shelanu biyarovei kochavim, ein tzarich chotam betoch chotam. It comes to teach you this halacha, that if we give, this is an additional halacha, what if you give your wine to a non-Jew, or in this case vinegar, for the non-Jew to watch? Okay, so if you give the wine, the assumption from this Gemara is you have to have a chotam b'toch chotam. It has to have a double seal. I was thinking it sounds like when you double wrap your food, right? It's a little different. But it has to have a double seal because the point is he's not going to break two seals. Right? In order to, you know, for him to really, you'd have to break two seals. But if we have our vinegar, that's biyadovei kochavim, it doesn't need a chotam b'toch chotam. Okay, why? If you're worried about it, he uses it for yai nesach lo menasche, right? We're not worried. V'imishum ichlufe, and if you're worried he's going to switch it with his own vinegar, kevan d'ika chotam lo tarachu mizayif. Since you already have one sealing, then we're already not worried he's going to switch your vinegar with his. Because if he switches your vinegar with his, then you'll be in trouble because his vinegar was originally wine, right? So one chotam is enough to prevent him from switching. It wouldn't be enough to prevent him from, if he really wanted to use it as yei nesach, but vinegar you can't use as, to offer it as a libation, so therefore we're not worried. Amar Rabbi Eli, Shaninu, we learn, yayim mevushal shel avdei kochavim, here we get to what we all know of yayim mevushal, which is wine that was cooked. Wine that was cooked, you don't have to worry about a non-Jew coming in contact with it because, okay, so yayim mevushal here, we're going to say now, forgetting about what I just said about not coming in contact with our wine, that's how we know yayim mevushal. But if it's yayim mevushal that was owned by Avdei Kochavim, shayam itchilato yayin asur. If it was originally regular wine and then you cooked it and turned it into this cooked wine, then, and it belonged to the Avdei Kochavim the whole time, well then obviously it's like the chometz, you have to worry about it. So again, they say, well, pshita, obviously, because it was originally wine. Of course, you'd have to worry about it. Mishum de'ifshal, just because you cooked it, pakale isur, right? We're going to uproot the isur that maybe it was used as yei nesach in the past. So Amar Rav Ashi, again, he comes to say, ha'atalash mu'inan, this is coming to teach us, yayim mevushal shelanu biyad ovdei kochavim, ein tzarich chotam betoch chotam. Again, what's it coming to teach us? That if we have yayim mevushal, where now it's mevushal, so they're not going to use it again for yayin esach, it's the same as the chometz, you don't need a chotam betoch chotam. Because imishum in suche, if we're worried they're going to offer it as a libation, lo menasche, they don't use that for libations. V'imishum echlufe, again, if we're worried he's going to switch it, he's going to drink your wine and replace it with his own yayim mevushal, kevandi ka chotam achad, lo tarachu mizayif. Since he's already got one seal on it, it's going to be enough of a preventative measure that he's not going to start switching his wine with your wine and trying to trick you and give you some, you know, some other wine.
Can I ask a ask a quick question? Yeah. Just to catch up. Why do you need two seals if one seal seems to do the trick in these cases?
So what they're saying is it depends how much your desire is to do something. So when you have something you want to worship up to your God, they want to use it as a libation. There's a very strong desire to use it. Mm-hmm. So one chotam won't be enough for them. Okay? In other words, let's say it's their holiday and they want to offer up a wine libation, and with all they have is your stuff. So they're very tempted to use it. So if it's got only one seal, they might use it. Once it has two seals, then they have to think twice, three times, wait, maybe I really shouldn't use this. Mm-hmm. That's the way I understand it. Whereas just to say, well, I'd rather switch your wine with my wine, that's not such a strong desire to do such a thing. Because in the end, they have their own wine. They're just switching it with your wine. What's really the difference? I mean, obviously you could say maybe your wine's much better than theirs, but they don't even know that would be the case because it's sealed in a bottle.
Do you have any reason to believe that the seals are kind of sealed once you open it?
So it could be
an envelope, or is it just a cork?
Right. I assume it was a seal that they put something around it. We've talked in the past like all these different kinds of seals. I didn't really look this up, but I'm guessing that another possible reason could be that the seal looks, it's easier to forge one seal than it is to forge two seals, right? If you're going to break something, so also it might just be that, it might not just not be, okay, well, I have to break this and I have to break that. That's one way of looking at it. It could also be that the seal itself is hard to forge. So you might say, well, I could get away with forging one seal, right? If I'm going to switch the wine, so I could forge, you know, it's, again, to the question is how much of a desire you have. So if you have a very strong desire, so you might open the seal. But if you don't, and say, okay, I'll forge a seal. But if you don't have such a strong desire.
If you have a row of houses and one has a high security system.
Right.
And a robber comes along, a burglar.
That's what I was thinking of, right. It's true. He'll pick the house, right? It's true that if you really want to rob a house, you'll break the soragim and, you can do anything. But it, for a number of robbers, it prevents them just seeing that you have soragim on your house or you have an alarm or, you know, there are people who will come and do it anyway. But that double makes people think twice about it. I think it's psychological.
It also might be that two are just much stronger and it was harder to open. Like, we don't really know
it's so hard to open. Yeah.
We don't know what double seal really means.
Right.
Maybe that it's a lot of wax or maybe it's just...
Right, right. It could be it's harder to open. It's possible. It's definitely possible. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Yayim bevushal va'alontit shel ovdei kochavim asurin. Okay, if you have cooked wine or this alontit, which is a mixture that was made from, we're going to see in a minute exactly what it is. Right, I think they describe it here. Yeah, it says it's in alontit. Yayim yashan, I'll just kind of say it right now. It's old wine, mine slulim, clear water, right, which is they would let the water sit for a while till all the sediment went to the bottom. V'afar simon, and balsam, balsam leaves. So they would make this drink out of this yayin yashan. So since it has yayin yashan in it again, right, it's problematic. So here's a mixture with wine and the yayin mevushal, which was originally wine. So these are asurim. Alontit kibriata muteret. Okay, but if you have alontit, okay, now there's a big debate what this means, kibriata. Okay, so one of the interpretations that made the most sense to me is that they had this combination. Kibriata means they mixed the balsam with the water, right? What is it?
Clear water and balsam oil.
With the clear water, right? And the balsam oil. They mix that together, and then they would have like the mixture ready to add the wine to it. So if the wine hadn't yet been added, then it would be allowed. That's one of the interpretations. This, by the way, was used as a medicinal type of thing. It was something they used, almost I saw somewhere it says it's like an ointment. Okay, so if it's like that, then it's okay. Some people have different interpretations of what this is exactly. Ve'ezu hi alontit. So what is this? Kidetanya, we have in a braita, gabe Shabbat. It says about Hilchot Shabbat. Again, we get back to things that are used for medicinal purposes are problematic because you might come to make them on Shabbat, which would include grinding up and other melechot. So sin anomlin ve'eno sin alontit. You can make this thing called an anomlin, but you can't make alontit. Ve'ezuhi anomlin, ezuhi alontit, anomlin, yayin udvash upilpilin. Okay, it was a mixture of wine, honey, and peppers. Alontit, yayin yashan, umayim tzulim, vafar simon. Da'avde lebe masuta. The reason you couldn't make the alontit was because it was used for medicinal purposes, whereas the other mixture was not used for medicinal purposes, and therefore could be made on Shabbat. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef d'amrei Trovayhu. Now we're going to have other comments about wine. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef said two things. Now this is how we're going to get into the issue of giloy that I mentioned. Yayim mazug ein bo mishum giloy. Okay, so there's no problem with what's yayin mazug. That's the yayin. If you remember, their wine was a concentrated drink. They would add to it water, three parts water. That's what we generally call a ravid of yayin, quarter of a load, because it's one part wine and three parts water. So yayin mazug, again, there were different combinations, but generally that was the ratio. Yayin mazug, there's no concern of giloy, because the assumption is snakes don't drink that. Okay, they only like it when it's concentrated. Yayin mevushal, ein bo mishum nisuch. Okay, so they talk about yayin mazug in reference to giloy, and yayin mevushal in reference to nisuch. And this is why this came up here for the second statement they made. These two things are not connected, they just happen to be things about different types of wine. So again, yayin mevushal, we saw this before, if it's cooked, you don't have to worry about nisuch because they're not offering it up to their gods. Ibai elahu. So now they want to know, mevushal yesh bo mishum giloy, o ein bo mishum giloy, right? You didn't mention mevushal in relation to giloy, you only mentioned it in relation to nisuch. So what would be the case of yayin mevushal with giloy? Would you have to worry if it was exposed overnight that a snake put its poison in it? Tashma, let's learn from this source. He'iv Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Idi al yayin mevushal she'ein bo mishum giloy. Okay, he testified. This was, we'll get to Eduyot. Well, actually, there's no Gemara on it, but we'll talk about it when we get to Horayot. Masechet Eduyot is all about these Eduyot, that the rabbis came and testified about certain things. This isn't found in Masechet Eduyot, Derech Agav, but it's the same type of thing where it's all these Eduyot. People came forward and said, I testify that this is the halacha. Okay, it was this time when they were trying to figure out what were halachot in all sorts of situations, and they gathered a lot of people, and people testified. So he testified about Yayin Mevushal that there is no giloy. Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmael Chalash. Now we're going to hear a story. He got sick. Okay, Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmael. Al legabe Rabbi Yishmael ben Zehud. So Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Zehud, comes by. Virabanan, okay, and they come. L'shiyulebe, to see how he's doing. To ask him questions. Okay? Yatva bakame ba'elehu. So they sat and asked. Yayim mevushal yesh bo mishum giloy, o ein bo mishum giloy. So they asked exactly this question. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zerud. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Zerud says to them, okay, he's sitting, right? Rabbi Yanai is sick. Rabbi Shmuel is sitting there with the rabbis, and he answers their question. He says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Shum ben Lakish, Mishum Gavra Rabba. This is what Rabbi Shum ben Lakish said in the name of an important person. This is generally, they say, right? Generally, when we have in the name of someone big, so they always want to know, well, who is that person? Umanu, Rabbi Chia. Okay? And the story was told that he said it in someone's big name, but we don't know exactly who it is. But the comment on the side is, well, we have a tradition that this person he was referring to was Rabbi Chia. And what is it? Yayim mevushal ein bo mishum giloy. Okay, so now they pass down, presumably in the name of Rabbi Chia or some big person, that it all, just like we said before, like Hei Rabbi Yaakov ben Idi, that yayim mevushal doesn't have giloy, snakes aren't going to eat it. Amrle nismoch. So they say, can we rely on this? So mechave lehu Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael alai v'al tzavarei. Okay, he says, so he pointed, in other words, Rabbi Yishmael pointed to Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael and said, I think it should be alav, right? One second. No, alav al tabari.
You can rely
right?
on
he's
me.
Saying,
the responsibility rests on my neck.
But he was pointing to...
He was motioning them over and saying...
He was just... Wait, who? I'm just confused. It was Rabbi Yanai I was saying.
Rabbi Yanai
right,
motioning
I, okay.
to them.
See, he was motioning to them and saying... I'll take responsibility for this psak. In other words, yes. Okay? Another story. Here's an interesting one. Shmuel va'avlet. Okay, avlet, you can tell by his name. He wasn't a Jewish guy, okay, if you can tell by names. But the assumption, okay, we talked about, he comes up in a bunch of places, and particularly in the Rishami, he has a lot of discussions. He was apparently a Babylonian scholar. Okay, the Koran attributes him to being from Babylonia because they say his name is derived from Sambalat. If you know the, if you remember from the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they, there's this guy Sanballat in the story. So anyway, he was a scholar, and he gets into a lot of discussions with the rabbis. Okay, he has a lot to do with them because he was a scholar. So Shmuel v'Avlei Tavu Yatve, they were sitting together. Aitu l'kamayu, by the way, again, I'm just going to point this out. We've been talking about this all since the beginning of the Masechet, that there's a bit of a, on the one hand, we're scared of non-Jews, and we've been discussing all these sugyot, we're worried they're going to kill us, and they might, you know, with a twist of a hand, murder us. On the other hand, we have all these other non-Jews that Shmuel has relationships with, and is sitting with, and we're going to see that the Avlei tries to point out a halacha to him. And so, like I said, from the very first day of this Masechet, there's this constant struggle between, on the one hand, there's, you know, there's this fear of non-Jews, you know, nowadays, especially, you know, persecuting, trying to, you know, have issues with them, versus the fact that there's lots of non-Jews out there that we have relationships with, and all is fine and good, and we can learn from them, etc. So here's another story that highlights the other aspect, which is nice after all those other gemaras to have the balance. Shmuel v'Avlei Tavu Yatve, they were sitting. Aitra l'kamayu chamer, so they brought before them wine, mivashla, v'ayim mivushal. Mashche liyade, so Avlei immediately takes his hand away from the wine. He wants to make sure not to touch it. Amar le Shmuel, Shmuel says to him, hare amru, yayim mivushal, ayim mishum yei nesech. Okay, Avlei obviously knew somewhat of the halacha that he can't touch wine from Jews, but he didn't realize that not yayim mivushal, so Shmuel told him, oh, no worries, Yayim Mavushal, you don't have to worry about it. Now we're going to have all sorts of stories, some more stories, and what's interesting about them is there's always going to be a servant here, because the assumption is the servants are the ones dealing with the wine. Like even here, somebody brought it before them. Amtei de Rabbi Chia, Igluye Lahayi Chamra. Okay, she left uncovered a particular type of wine, but a particular bottle of wine that was Mavashal, that was Yayim Mavushal. She comes before Rabbi Chia and she says, oh no, I left open this Yayim Mavushal. But what did we learn? Ah, you don't have to worry about it. Amar la, hare amru, Yayim Mavushal, ein bo mishum giloy. You see, by the way, here, it's very interesting that the other, right, lots of people didn't really know the distinctions, right? This, the Avlei didn't know the distinction between Yayim Mavushal in terms of Yenesh, and this woman, this Ama, didn't know the difference in terms of giloy or not, right? Not, you can see how it's confusing, and these stories are highlighting that not everybody knew everything.
Yeah, sure. Gnawing at me from the beginning, because isn't there a rule, or don't they say in the Gemara that you're also not supposed to leave water overnight?
Yeah.
So that if you don't leave water, why, what's, I mean, why so, water and yayin lo mevushal, but yayin mevushal, yayin zug in the middle is okay?
So that's what the whole discussion is, and we're going to have more of a discussion about it, which is, there's an assumption that snakes will drink particular drinks and not others. So wine, you know, depending on what type of wine it is, they may drink it or not. Water, for sure they would. That's why water is a problem. So that's exactly what we're getting into. What's the assumption of what a snake will drink? And hold off, because we're going to have an interesting question at the end, which is sort of going to address what you're saying, I think. But anyway, hold off on it, because we're going to have more discussion about it. But that's exactly what they're trying to get at. Number one, what are things that non-Jews will be minasech? I thought it was, by the way, interesting that the non-Jew didn't know which wine was problematic. Now, maybe he didn't know why the wine is problematic and what the issue is. Also, by the way, this Yayim Mavushal, what about the Chatanut issue? I'll have to address that when we get to that, right, in terms of just because it's Mavushal, so that doesn't lead to Chatanut. What's the difference there? If the issue is Yayin Nesach, it makes sense. Right, although this Avlei guy didn't know. But again, Avlei wasn't necessarily an idol worshiper and of those idol worshippers that we were worried about. So, okay. Shamei de Rav Ada Bar Ava, the Shamash of Rav Ada Bar Ava, Igale Lechamra, Meziga. He had Yayim Mazug, right, this diluted wine that was uncovered. What did we say about Yayim Mazug before? We said there's no concern of Giloy. So Amar Le, right? So again, the Shamash comes to him and says, oh no, I left uncovered this Yayim Mazug. Amar Le, so Rabbi Chia says to him, Hare Amru, Yayim Mazug, Ein Bo Mishum Giloy. Sorry, was it Rabbi Chia? No. Sorry, Rab Adbar Ava. We're up to him now. So he says to him, don't worry, there's no problem with Giloy. Amar Rav Papa, now Rav Papa comes to say, and maybe this will highlight even your question, Naomi, Lo Amaran Ela De Mazig Tuva. It's only if it's really diluted. Ava mazig below mazig shate. Okay, but if it's partially diluted, then they'll drink it. So now the Gemara is going to start questioning this. Okay, they're kind of getting to Naomi saying, well, they drink this, but they don't drink that. Okay. Umazik velo mazik mishate. So first they're going to question, are you sure that they only drink part, that they would drink partially diluted wine? V'ha, we're going to have a story. Rabba Barba Rapuna have a ka'aza ba'arba. He was on a boat. V'havanake chamra bahade, and he brought wine with him. V'chazye la'u chibia ditzare ba'ate, and he saw a snake coming. Amrele l'shame, he says to the shamash, same ene de'den shak'a blind the snake, okay, which doesn't mean merely blind the snake, but make it so that he doesn't see this wine. Shakel kale maya shadabe. So he takes a thing of water and he puts it in the wine. Visar la achore, and he runs away. So this must have been partially diluted wine because he just threw some water into it and it scared the snake away. So what do we say? Achaye masar nafshe. Amaziga lo masar nafshe. So what are we saying now? The assumption was it was undiluted to begin with, right? It had no water in it. Then he threw a little bit of water and that scared the snake away. But didn't we say that partially diluted they would drink? So what do we say now? Since there were people there, he wasn't willing to risk his life for it. Only if it's undiluted would he have risked his life for it. And that's why he said, once you had a little bit of water, now that we're around, he won't risk his life for it. But if we weren't around, then he would risk his life. Then he wouldn't need to risk his life. He would come and put his poison in it, even if it was partially diluted. So that's the first distinction we're making. Now we're going to question the other part of what he said. Amaziga lo masar nafshe. Now you want to say that on diluted wine, they don't drink that. They wouldn't risk their life for it. V'ha Rabbi Yanai hava be'ach bure. Rabbi Yanai was in be'ach bure. V'amre la barhedya hava be'ach bure. Whether it was barhedya or Rabbi Yanai. Hava yatve v'hava kashate chamra maziga. They were drinking diluted wine. Pash lehu chamra b'kuba. They had a little bit left. So they put it in a kuba, in a barrel or some sort of utensil. V'tzarun hu b'prunka. And they covered it with a cloth. Bechazia, what happened? They covered it with a cloth, which seemed to be fine. But what happened? Chazia, so first of all, it's diluted, remember. So what do we say? The assumption is snakes aren't interested in diluted wine. But here we're going to see that he was interested in diluted wine. Chazia la uchivya, we found a snake. Deshakil maya, virama bakuba, ademale bakuba, visalik chamra ilavai. Ilavai prunka, vishate. Okay, what happened? The snake came, dropped water from its mouth, like saliva, into the jug. Obviously, it must have been close to full. They went through the cloth, filled up the jug until the wine started seeping up from the top. Now, the snake can't get inside, but if the wine starts coming up above the cloth, then he could drink it. So what do you see here? He went and he drank this yayin mazug. It was diluted wine, and he even diluted it more. So what do they answer? Amre demazig ihu shate. Demazige achrine lo shate. Now we have a really strange answer. He himself diluted the wine, so therefore he was willing to drink, and as he wanted to drink it, it was diluted by his own doings, rather than wine that was diluted by other people. Now that's a little bit of a difficult answer because the wine was diluted to begin with. So some people say, well, since it was diluted already, but he also diluted it, then he was interested in drinking it. Other people say that they have a different, the Rabbeinu Hananel has a different girsa, where actually it wasn't diluted wine to begin with. It was undiluted wine, and then obviously it wasn't that they were drinking it and it was left over, but maybe they used it for making a drink and left over the concentrate. Right, what was in the barrel they might have left. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they drank. They made it from the barrel, covered the rest of the barrel, and maybe that was it. Okay, so there's a few different versions of it. In any case, you see that they do eat, drink mazug, but only if they do it themselves. Amar Rav Ashi, v'tam Rav Masharshia, peruka. Now, here's the best line. Okay, Naomi, this is what I was thinking to tell you. Peruka l'sakanta. So you came up with this answer now, which says that what? Here we think that they don't drink diluted wine. But then we said, no, well, they do. Look at this story. Oh, no, that's only because he put it in himself. So now they say, okay, it's nice that you're answering these creative answers, but we're going to get ourselves into danger, right? And what does this mean? This means if you have Yayin Mazug, that was uncovered all night, you don't have to worry the snake put its venom in it. What if the snake did put its venom in? Other, yes, you came up with some answer, but in that story, the snake did put the venom in, and it's nice you gave some Gemara-type answer, but you're putting people's lives at risk if they drink this wine that maybe had the poison in it. So how could you possibly, right? It's a great line. Peruka l'sakanta, your peruk, your answer, is going to maybe endanger us. Amarava, so Rava says, Hilchata yayim mazug yesho mishum giloi. Okay, paskin to the end, you should worry about yayim mazug. Okay? Vi yeshbo mishum yei nesach. And also, you have to worry about yei nesach, because they would offer up yayim mazug, diluted wine. But yayin mevushal ein bo mishum giloi ve'ein bo mishum yei nesach. But yayin mevushal doesn't have any concern for either one. Shamai d'Rav Chilkiya bar Tufa. Here we have a shamash. Igalya hahu kista demaya. He had uncovered he had left uncovered a jug of water. V'hava nayim gabe, and he slept right next to it. Ata the gabe d'Rav Chilkiya bar Tufi. So he went to Rav Chilkiya bar Tufi. Amarle haramru emat yashen alehem. What did he say? You don't have to worry about it because the fear of the person who was sleeping is upon them. Even if there's a human being nearby, even if he's sleeping, it's fine. But now the Gemara says hanemila bi yamama. That's only during the daytime. Aval b'leil yalo. I assume this has to do with people have deeper sleep at night, and therefore the snake will be more likely. If you're sleeping during the day, he won't come near. But if you're sleeping at night, he might come near. Vilohi. But in fact, this is not the case. Lo shna b'yamama v'lo shna b'leilya emat yashen alehen lo amrinan. Okay, we don't say emat yashen alehen. If you're asleep and you left it uncovered even during the day, it's a problem. Rav lo shate mi be aramai. Okay, he wouldn't drink water. Now we have a question. Forget about avodah zarah. You have a non-Jew who has one. If they don't have this halacha about Yayin Migule, right, worrying about a snake putting its poison, its venom in, then maybe you can't drink water. Right, you think about this. What's the obvious thing you could drink in anyone's house? You can obviously drink water or most drinks. They claim, well, you can't drink from a Beit HaRamai because maybe you have to worry that their wine was left out overnight. Amar lo zihiri begiloi, right? He says they're not careful about giloi and therefore I won't drink. But mi beit armalata, here you can see aramai, armalata, it sounds the same even though they're two totally different things. Armalata is an almana, a widow. But from a house of a widow, shate, I would drink. Why? Amar, sircha de gavra nikita, she keeps her husband's minhagim. Even though her husband's not around to remind her about this halacha of giloi, right? Again, you get to this woman who doesn't know only on virtue of her husband, but we can assume that her husband taught her enough, she knows to keep the minhagim of her husband and be careful about yayin megule. But Shmuel did the opposite. Lo shate mayim mibe'ar malata, okay, wouldn't drink from the house of a widow, amar leit la emta de gavra. She doesn't have the fear of her husband upon her, and therefore she doesn't necessarily keep to whatever halachot he was keeping to. V'lo michsia mayim, and therefore she doesn't cover her water. Aval mibe'ar amai shate, nihida agilui lo kapte, aminakruta miakapte. Even though they're not concerned about this venom of a snake, I don't know why they assume this venomous snake was only a concern of the Jews, right, and not the non-Jews, but they are concerned for cleanliness. Okay, it's interesting, they assume this almana is not concerned for cleanliness, but they assume that the non-Jews are concerned about cleanliness. They'll keep a standard. This is going to lead us to, you know, things about pasteurization or, you know, if they keep to a certain standard, which would then qualify for us, so that would work. So they keep to a certain standard that they keep their water covered so dirt doesn't get into it, so therefore also the venom of the snake won't get into it. Ika de Amre, so now there's a different version. Rav lo shate mayim mibe aramai, aval mibe armalata shate. Okay, the Rav didn't drink wine from the house of Arami, but he would drink from the Beit Armalata. Is this Ika de Amre?
It's the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And Shmuel lo shate maya, lo mibe aramai, velo mibe armalata. But Shmuel wouldn't drink from either. Amar Rishu ben Levi, shalosh yenotein ve'ein behem mishum giloi. There's three types of wine that you don't have to worry about giloi, because again, the assumption is the snake won't drink these. Ve'eluhen, chad, sharp wine, mar, bitter, and matok, sweet wine. Chad, tila harifa demetzre zike. This is acrid wine that will crack the jug. Mar is yarnaka. Some people have yarkana, which comes from yerek. It's something they would put vegetables in to make it bitter. Matok, chulia. It's a sweetened type of wine. Rav Chama matne li'ilia. Rav Chama said all these three things are the best wines. Okay, apparently snakes don't like really good wines. Okay, it was the opposite of what I said before, right? They don't like good wines. Chad is chamar upilpilin. It's wine mixed with pepper. Mar is afsintim, which is with wormwood. And matok is mebarg. It's some type of sweet, you know, choice wine. Amar Shem ben Lakish, Karina Embo Mishum Giloy. Okay, this is if you're a wine connoisseur, this is your page, right? Daf of Gemara. Karina, type of wine, Embo Mishum Giloy. My Karina, what is this Karina? Amar Biavau, Chamar Chalia, to sweet wine, Da'ate Me'asya, that comes from Asia Minor. Amar Rava, Ubim Komo Yeshbo Mishum Giloy. But in where it comes from, in Asia Minor, if you're there, then you have to worry about Giloy. Here's an interesting halacha, which carries over to another sugya, Maitaima Chamer Medinahu. Since that's the wine that they have in their place, the snakes there drink it because there is no other wine. This is like Chamer Medina when it comes to Kiddush. What wines are you allowed to make Kiddush on? So if that's your, right, there's different definitions what Chamer Medina is, but generally what the Pshat is, it means if you don't have wine, like let's say in Germany where beer is the drink and not wine. Nowadays they all obviously also drink wine, but let's say way back, you know, a place where they didn't have wine, so they made beer. So beer would be considered like wine for Kiddush purposes. Again, there's a whole debate about what can you use Chamer Medina, not. Anyway, we're not going to get into it here. We already learned in the Pesachim. On the next round, we'll review it. What? Right, for Havdalah. Well, right, I'm not going to get into all the halachic things. There's Shabbos morning, yes, lesson night. Okay, anyway, we dealt with it when we did it there. We'll do it again. Amar Rava. Hai chamer da'akrim. No promises. I'm doing it again now. Anyway. Amar Rava. Hai chamer da'akrim ad slata yoma. Yesh bo mishum giloy. Okay, if the wine is going bad, it's turning into vinegar, so it starts to turn sour, at what point do we say, we no longer have to worry about Giloy? 3 days, okay? Once it starts turning bad, the first 3 days it's still considered wine. After that, it's not. So therefore, the first 3 days it has Giloy. Umishum ye nesech, mikam ve'elach, bo umishum, sorry, let's read this. Yesh bo mishum Giloy, umishum ye nesech, right? It still could be offered as a libation. Mikam ve'elach, after those 3 days, bo mishum Giloy, ve'embo mishum ye nesech. Okay, once those 3 days have passed, then it's called vinegar and you don't have to worry about anything.
But isn't there a chashash with chometz?
So here they mean chometz that then got into the hands of the Ovei Kochavim. Obviously, if it was originally wine, then you'd have to worry. Here what they mean is you don't have to worry that at this point, once it becomes called vinegar, 3 days after it starts turning sour, nobody's going to offer it up as a libation anymore. Now, if it was in the hands of the Akum until that point, you'd have to worry about it. If it was in my hands and then I gave it to the Akum, then I certainly don't have to worry that they're offering it up as a libation. Mm-hmm. But you're right that if it's vinegar that was always in the hands of the Ovei Kochavim, was in his hands while it was still wine, you'd have to worry.
And is it the same rule with the Ya'em? I'm a little bit confused about the Ya'em of Bushal.
Yeah.
Because we said... Well,
it was the same thing. If it was not Mevushal before... Mm-hmm. That if it was first wine and then became mevushal and it was in the hands of the Akum the whole time, you'd have to worry about it. But if it was cooked before it was wine, or if it got into the Akum's hands after it was cooked, you don't have to worry about it. And then it would only need one seal.
Okay? It was like ours and pure.
Right. If I put it in their hands to watch mine, I just need it one sealed. I'm not really worried. He certainly won't offer it up for Ye Nessa. Mm-hmm. Okay. They say even after 3 days it might still, the snake will come. It might just, you know, by mikre come and drink it. Tana Rabbanan, yayin toses. Now we're going to do the reverse. What happens when wine is fermenting in the beginning of the process and it's not yet wine? Einbo mishum giloy. Vekamat sisato. Okay, so you don't have to worry about giloy. And how long does that take? Gimel yamim. The same 3 days it takes to ferment. Hashachalayim, cress. Ein bahem mishum giloy. Okay, the assumption is there's cress, there's liquid in it, or maybe cress that's in a liquid. You don't have to worry about giloy. Ubene gola nahagu bahen isur. But in the gola, we're going to see that the gola, this. Always certain situations where in different places, either Israel or the Galut, there's even this book called the Sefer HaChilukim Ben Bnei Bavel Ve'eretz Israel that talks about all these different minhagim they had in the different places. So here we're going to see on a bunch of things the Bnei Gola were more machmir. So they were machmir about kress. We're now going to have a whole bunch of things that have liquids in them. They're not wine per se or water or things like a liquid mamash, but they're foods that have liquids in them. We're going to get to fruits that are juicy. Maybe there the snake might have come to drink from the juice. So, shachalayim, you don't have to worry about giloy. Ubenena, so the bnei golan agubo isur. The lo amaran ella delepehu chala. Aval ipehu chala migrebehu. It's only if you don't mix the cress with vinegar, but if you mix it with vinegar, for sure the snakes are going to keep away from it. Kuta chabavli einbo mishum giloy. Okay, kuta chabavli, one of my favorite foods. It's whey mixed with like old bread that's going moldy and salt, and it sometimes has some other things in it. It's a weird kind of combination of foods. I'm not really sure. Apparently they used it as a dip, like for appetizers. Some sort of, I don't know why moldy bread would interest anybody, but anyway, that's the kuta chabavli. So einbo, so since it had this whey in it and it's like a sort of sour dish, einbo mishum giloy, you don't have to worry about this because also it had the sourness in it. Ubnei gola nehagubo isur, but the bnei gola were machmir on this. Interesting, it's a kuta chabavli, and the bavlim were generally bnei gola or the bnei bavel. Amarav Menashe, eat buhei nikure chayshinam, but if it has nicks in it, right, you know, the indentations, right, here we're not talking about liquids, we're talking about things that are a little bit liquidy, but they're somewhat firm. So if it has an indentation, then it looks like some creature came in, then you have to be worried that the snake came in. Amrafia barashi amrashmua. Me tiftif, ein bo mishum giloy. If you have something that has a leak in it and it's dripping, like let's say your barrel of wine, it has a drip and it's dripping down into something else, you put another something underneath to catch what's dripping. So you don't have to worry about giloy. Why? Because the tip, 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 you know, the drop noise will scare the snakes away. Amrav ashi, vuhuda avid tif lahade tif. Tif, tif. Okay, that's only if it's constantly dripping. But if it drips once every minute, let's say, then it's not as scary. It has to be like a tif, 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 tif that's scaring them. Obviously, what, you know, how close they have to be, it's not so clear. Amrav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amr Shmuel, pi te'ena ein bo mishum giloy. The opening of the fig, you don't have to worry about it, because you might have thought that he would, again, the snake might come into the opening, and there you wouldn't see any indentation because it's open, right? The opening of the fig. Kiman, who does this go by? Ki haitana detanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, ochel adam anavim utenim balayla ve'eno choshesh. Mishum shenemar shomer p'taim Hashem. You can eat grapes and figs at night and you don't have to worry. What don't you have to worry? At night, the assumption was, not like nowadays we have lights at night. Those days, they couldn't see, or if you could see, it wasn't very well. They just had some candlelight. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to see nicks in them. So you might think, I can't eat them during the nighttime because I won't see the nicks. Likewise, I can't eat from the, you know, if there's an opening in the fig and the snake might have gotten in, I wouldn't see a nick. So the point is, he says you can eat them at night and you don't have to worry because Shomer P'tayim Hashem, God saves the foolish, right? People who don't pay attention. Here it's people who can't pay attention, who can't see. The assumption is it's okay, right? It's kind of like saying we're not going to go that far, okay? So he says also, same with the Tena. I'm Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua de Roma. Shlosha minei eres hen. There's three types of eres. Shel bachur, a young snake, shokea. It goes all the way down to the bottom. Shel benoni mipapea. The benoni, it kind of stays midway. Veshel zaken saf. And of an older snake, it floats. So now they're saying, lememer de kama de kashish kachush chele. You're saying, as the older the snake gets, he gets weaker. Doesn't make any sense. Vahatanya, it says, in a braita, shlosha, there's three creatures that calls mansha mazkinim, gvura mitosefet bahem. As they get older, they get stronger. And Elohein, b'mikre, dag, nachash, v'chazir. So the nachash is one of them. So here it says the nachash gets stronger. So how could it be that the stronger snake, his venom, it floats to the top? It sounds like it's much weaker. So what do they say? Koch osufehu dekamosif. Zihare kalish. Okay, in other words, they're saying the strength of the snake is much stronger as he gets older, but the venom gets lighter. Okay, shel bachor shokea. So why does this matter to know if a young snake it drops to the bottom? Lamai hilchata, for what halacha? It's to teach you, detanya chavit shenitgalta. If you have a barrel that was open, you know, that was left open. You might say, look, nine people already drank from this chavit and nobody died. Lo yishtem yimenu asiri. Because, right? The SCV is going to get to the bottom of the barrel, and that's where the venom ended up. Okay, so you might have nine people because, it, you know, there was no venom at the top. And now we're going to see Maaseh Haya, Shashatu Mimenu Tisha, Velo Meitu, Veshata Asiri Vamet, right? This is the Gemara's classic way of scaring you, right? Oh, and by the way, a story happened where exactly this happened. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Zeu Shokem. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that's an example of Shokem. And this is the last case we'll see for today. Can of a tiach and a melon. It's not necessarily a watermelon in the Gemara, it's melon. Shenit Galta, that was left open. Again, you're going to see it with fruits. Okay, again, the 10-person shini, because maybe the venom went all the way at the bottom. Maaseh haya, v'achlu mimenu tisha v'lometu v'achal asiri v'met, amar Rebbe, zehu shokea. Okay, these are examples of shokea, where it went all the way to the bottom. Okay, tomorrow we're going to learn all sorts of things. At least we'll start with water. You might think you can't drink it, but we're going to learn not only can you not drink it, but you can't even use it to wash your floors, and you can't do all sorts of other things because there's a concern if you wash your floors, right, someone might step on it, and the venom will go into his body, so, or her body. So,
well, so all sorts of, it just shows you how much food production must have been so much work, because nowadays we throw all of it out. You know, if you're risking a snake, they're having such minute discussions. This one's good, that one's good. I mean, throw it all out.
Right, right. They definitely didn't throw much away, as we know. And that's why this is interesting to say that you can't even use it to wash your floors, right? You'd think, at least if you can't use it for that, you could use it to wash your floors. But no, in fact, you can't. Okay, so it's interesting.